great songs this morning. One of the songs that ministers to me when I'm down or when I'm in my darkest hour is the song Blessed Assurance. It's so good to know that I have a blessed assurance, and it's because of what Christ has done, because of his sacrificial love for me, that yes, I go through difficulties in this world and frustration and you name it, but all is not lost. You know, I have a blessed assurance. I want to thank you so much for that. So turn with me, if you mind, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I know Reverend Buckley is going through the book of Acts with you. It's a very good book. It gives the account of the church, the early church, and how it started and how it spread through persecution. And so we'll be looking at the 16th chapter, and we'll read from the 16th verse, and we'll end at the 31st verse, Acts chapter 16. It reads, "It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master's such profit for fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, 'These men are born servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of the girl that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans.' The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they have beat them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with chains. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And he called the lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" Let us pray. Father, we say thank you again this morning. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for being faithful from January to December. We thank you, Lord, that through your son Jesus, we are called your children, and we have this blessed assurance. Father, Lord, we read from the book of Acts about how the New Testament church started, and and everything that the believers went through just to spread the gospel. Father, today as we come to your word, we pray, God, that we'll not go back the same. You, God, will prepare our hearts to receive your word from you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So following Jesus, we know it's a difficult thing, but not just that. Preaching the gospel can be difficult at times. There are times you face rejection just for sharing the gospel. There are times people ostracize you because you decide to share the gospel with them. I met a friend, and he told me that, you know, I feel nervous when it comes to sharing the gospel with my family members because I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want anybody to reject me. I don't want anybody to look at me the other way. And so preaching the gospel can be difficult at times. Sometimes we face persecution, you know, for preaching the gospel. The question is how we respond to persecution, all right, when you are preaching the gospel and all of a sudden you start to go through hardship or suffering. How do you respond as a Christian to that persecution? Tells or determines how deep your walk is with God. All right? It determines how deep your trust is in God. In 1986, there was a very sad incident that occurred in Yekepa, where I was born and grew up. An American missionary left from here to serve in Africa, and he served there for so many years, and he ministered to a guy that got saved, and he sent this guy to the seminary, and he went to school, and he came back, and guess what? He killed this missionary's wife and daughter. And it was a difficult time for him. It was a difficult time for the Christian community. And we all were there kind of watching to see what would come out of it. And Reverend George Center got to Yekepa. He went to the precinct compound. And his response to this man was, "I forgive you." In 1990, my father, Reverend Anthony Jonah, decided to minister the gospel to rebels, to fighters. And every morning he would go and minister to them, and all of a sudden one day they decided to come and arrest him for no reason. They arrested him and put him in prison, and we were angry. I remember that very well. I was so angry. I was devastated. Why did they do this to my father? And they put him in prison. And I don't know how many of you have been to prison, but prison is not a good place for anyone to be. And so I said, my father has never experienced this before. Why are they doing it to him? Well, after a while, they let him go. And guess what? My father was back there preaching the gospel. He decided to respond to those guys in love by saying, "I forgive you. I will continue to preach the gospel." In October of this year, 2018, there was a pastor who is part of the United Liberian Inland Church. And this pastor got arrested by Zoos in one of the towns in Nima County. And he got arrested not because he did anything wrong, but because he was preaching the gospel. And people tortured him. And they, out of his will, initiated him into their society. And then they let him go. And other ministers and other pastors and other people were so angry. His family members were so angry. Do something about this. And this pastor chose to respond in a loving way by forgiving those guys and going back to that village to share the gospel. How we respond in bad situation determines how deep our walk is with the Lord. So Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel, and a lot of things are happening. A lady by the name of Lydia hears the gospel. God opens her heart. She's baptized, and from there, great things started to happen. And so they are on their way to the house of prayer, and they encounter this slave girl who was demon-possessed. And she was there saying, "These are men of God. You know, they are preaching about the way to be saved." And she was doing that to distract people from listening to Paul and Silas. And she did that for many days, and Paul got angry and rebuked the demon out of her. Well, little did he know that he was putting himself into problem. Her masters got angry with Paul and Silas because that was her condition brought money for them. Her condition was a source of income for them. And so they got so angry and they decided to put a charge on Paul and Silas. And they went and said, if you read the text in verse 19, it said, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. So because of sharing the gospel, Paul and Silas are suffering. Paul and Silas are going through this kind of humiliation. All right? And so they dragged them down to that, but they beat them, and then they ended up in prison. They put them in prison and asked the jailer to make sure that they don't leave that area. They were suffering for the sake of the gospel. But when you read further in verse 25 of the text, it tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas, in this inner cell, at midnight, Paul and Silas, in this state of frustration and hopelessness, you know, having gone through pain, decided not to complain, decided not to get angry with God. You know, sometimes, you know, we get angry with God when we are going through a difficult situation. Decided not to blame God, but they decided to praise God, to pray and praise God. They decided to glorify God. You know, yes, we are in this prison compound and all is not well with us, but we are not going to allow our situation to stop us from glorifying God. And this is why, you know, we all need to be very careful with how we live our lives each day. And because people are watching us, and sometimes I am not a better person when it comes to pain. When it comes to pain or when it comes to frustration or when, you know, life is not going my way. All right. Sometimes it changes the way I behave or I respond as a Christian. But God wants us to respond, come what may, whatever the situation may be, in ways that glorify him. And so Paul and Silas are in prison, and they are still glorifying their God. There are a couple of lessons that we can learn from this passage. And I pray that God will help all of us to just apply it in our everyday lives. One is that the first response we see is that Paul's response is linked to prayer. They are praying in the text. They are praying to God in prison. They are communicating to God in prison. Praying from a position we all see to be hopeless. They are praying to God. We know that there is power in prayer. We see that, you know, prayer changes things. But how many of us can pray when all is not well? How many of us can think about praying when things are not going well? You know, I struggle with that. You know, I try to look for a human solution when things are not going well. Sometimes I want to talk to somebody to see how they can fix this problem. But God encourages us to pray. And not pray only when things are good, but what are good, what are bad times we should pray. So Paul and Silas are in prison and they are praying to God. They are praying to God. Their decision here is to respond in prayer, or with prayer. And so God wants us to do that, no matter what we are going through. As Christians, he wants us to respond in a way that will bring glory to his name. The second response we see in the text is linked to praise. Now, in here you see Paul and Silas are praising God in the midst of pain, in the midst of all that happened to them. And the other guys in the prison, Rome are listening to them. They are watching them. What's going on? You know, they are praising God. You know, something happened, and I shared this the other time. I want to share again with my mother. I really appreciate God for my mother during the funeral of my father. It was something that stood out to me, and it spoke volume, you know, to everyone when it comes to our faith and work with God. You know, my mother and my father were very close. They loved each other. And we were not prepared for what happened. But then she's there, and his cup is there, and we are at a funeral service, and she gets up, and she's dancing. She's praising God in the midst of that painful situation. She's praising God. You know, it's easy to praise God when all is well. It's easy to praise God when there's food on our tables, when there's money in our pockets. It's easy to praise God when we pay our bills. It's easy to praise God when everything is, when our health is in good shape. It's easy to praise God. But do we praise God when things are not going well? And I struggle with this one. I struggle. You know, sometimes my attitude when it comes to praising God in bad situation can be the opposite. God wants us to praise him no matter what. So Paul and Silas are praising God. They are rejoicing. It was Paul who wrote from Philippians 4, for rejoice in the Lord. You know, and it's so neat that he's here in this bad situation and he's applying that. He's rejoicing. He's praising God. God wants us to praise him. When life turns bitter, he wants us to praise him. When all is not going well, he wants us to praise him. And I think praising him when all is not well affirms the fact that he's in control. He is sovereign. He's in control. And so, yes, I may not understand what's going on in my life. I know that my God is in control, and I'm going to praise him. Paul and Silas are praising him, yes. So their response is not to get angry with God, but to praise God. The third and final response we see here is linked to Paul and Silas preaching the gospel. So this jailer gets up and he's confused. You know, he's aware that he's going to get killed. All right, so he tells himself, let me kill myself first. Let me just take my sword and kill myself. Okay, because the prisoners have left and I have no answer to whatever, you know, I'm asked about them. Let me just finish myself. And Paul and Silas and the rest of the guys are still there. And every time I read this passage, the question that comes to my mind is, why did Paul and Silas choose to remain there? Why? They could have just run away and go, you know. We are free now. We can go. But I think here, God allowed that to happen so that his name can be glorified. He opened up an opportunity for them to share the gospel. This man comes to them and he says, he asked the most important question in the world. What must I do to be saved? What must I do, in other words, to receive eternal life? And Paul and Silas say, Paul tells him, believe in Jesus. This morning, you may be here and wondering, you know, you may be here and you are yet to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are asking that question, what must I do to be saved? Here's the answer, folks. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And today there are a lot of people around us asking that question silently in our families, in our communities. Around us, there are people asking, what must I do to be saved? You see that emptiness in them. You see that frustration, that anger in them, that bitterness in them. And they're asking that question, what must I do to be saved? How can I solve this problem going in my life? How can I have peace? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And so as we go about this day, as we end this year, I want us to ask God to give us that grace to glorify him in whatever situation we find ourselves going through. We should always glorify him. We should seek opportunities to share the gospel with people. And so Paul and Silas shared the gospel with that jailer, and he got saved. I just want to close with this to say, God can save you too. God can change your life. God can make you to be the person he wants you to be if you are willing to allow him answer that question. What must I do to be saved? Think about it. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you again for your word to us. We thank you. We read about Paul and Silas and how you use them, Lord, in the midst of all the horrible experiences, Lord, to just glorify you. Sometimes, Father, Lord, we don't glorify you. We don't appreciate you when things are not going well. We complain. Sometimes we even sin against you. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, and help us to glorify you, Lord, in the way we behave, in the things we do, in the things we say. Help us to seize every opportunity to share the gospel. And Father, if somebody here, Lord, under the sound of my voice, is struggling, Father, Lord, and that person is yet to know you, I pray, God, that today they will not leave from here the same. That, God, they will surrender their lives to you. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.